If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we will be looking at one of the episodes in the life of Christ. We went through the parables some. This isn't a parable. This is one of those times where he performs a miracle. And it says in Luke 17, verse 11, "And it came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.' But the 9, where are they?" 10 lepers cleansed. One returns, a Samaritan, to give thanks to the Lord. Now, this is Thanksgiving Day week, and I want to speak to you this morning, if I can, on this topic of the utter necessity of being thankful. The thankfulness is a necessary condition for salvation. Now, when I say necessary, think of what I'm talking about. It's not sufficient enough, but it is necessary. And you know the difference. You should know the difference as much as I've preached on this. The difference between a necessary condition and a sufficient condition. They're not just synonyms here, okay? Water is necessary for plant life. But it's not sufficient enough. You need more than water to grow plants. So it's a necessary condition. Without it, you can't grow them, okay? It's necessary. But it's not sufficient. By itself, it will not grow the plants. So thankfulness is a necessary condition, but it's not sufficient. Just one chapter over in Luke 18, remember this guy, remember in verse 9 and 10 about the righteous, the self-righteous man and the sinner, the sinner and the publican, as they call it. He says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer." In verse 11, "The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, 'God, I thank thee.'" Here's a man giving thanks to God. And his prayers didn't get heard. So you can give thanks, necessary condition, and it not be sufficient. But the utter necessity of giving thanks for a Christian to give thanks is necessary. Now, I shouldn't have to tell you that. I've got on the board here many, many passages. I've got pages, really. But it shows you different aspects, and I got them in italics, of where it talks about giving thanks. Psalm 107:1, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting." This is a refrain that goes all the way through Psalm 107. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, oh, give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord." Psalm 145:10, "All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly one shall bless you." All your work shall give thanks to you. Isaiah 25:1, "O Lord, you are my God, I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders." We sang the song earlier. Plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Jeremiah 33, I mean, I can go through many, many, many passages along these lines. In fact, one of them in here is going to be Luke 17. I don't know what happened there. Even Jesus in John 11:41, he thanks the Father that he heard him. I don't think it's any coincidence that the first things you teach your children when they're young is their manners. You teach them to say what? Please and thank you. Amen. And you teach them to say thank you. Why? Because what is Thanksgiving when you think about it? Not the holiday, the actual giving of thanks. Thanksgiving. You're giving thanks. is to show an appreciation as a beneficiary to somebody or someone who is a benefactor to you. When you say thank you, you're acknowledging some relationship with another person or whatever. It could be a government or something. You're saying thank you to them because they've done something for you. And you're showing that appreciation. Can anybody tell me the difference between thankfulness and gratefulness? Or is there a difference? Maybe I'm just kind of parsing out little differences, little nuances here, synonyms here. They're pretty much similar in a lot of ways, being grateful and being thankful. Many times a person is grateful in the generalized sense. Many times people are thankful in a specific sense. They're thankful for something specific. They're grateful in general. The mark of the lost in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, is that they cannot give thanks. Even though they knew God, remember? Talks about all men know God, there was power and all these things in verse 20. He says, and even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. Wow, how do you not honor him as God? You give thanks. If you can't give thanks, you're not honoring him as God. And what happens? You don't live in a vacuum. God doesn't sit on his hands. You become what? Useless. Futile in their speculations. They start going outside the boundaries about rights and wrongs and who God is and what he can and cannot be. And their foolish heart was darkened. Where did this darkness come from and where did it start? Right here. Lack of the necessity of giving thanks. It's a necessary condition in your salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5 says what? You're to give thanks in all things. Not just when you win the lottery. You give thanks in your trials because you know why you have those trials. They're working and affecting you to become more like Christ. Now, they're not pleasant. They might even be sinful from the outside, whatever it might be, from sinful men. But when you can thank God and you put yourself in a humble position as a beneficiary to receive something, and you acknowledge God as the great benefactor who's given you these things, good or bad, whatever it might be. Because the bad we know is going to work together for our good. The good is self-explanatory. Then you don't have to be asking this question that Jesus is asking. Where are the nine? And here this guy comes back. He's a Samaritan. And he points that out. He's a foreigner. Yet he knows how to give thanks. He just got healed of his leprosy. These men are at a distance. You know why they're at a distance? Leviticus 13. When you have leprosy, you're to cry unclean, unclean when you get around people. You're to tear your garments, and you're to live alone in Leviticus 13. No one's to be around you. Someone touches you, they're unclean. And so they're at a distance crying, Son of David, have mercy on us. Well, they can commiserate with themselves, but they can't get around normal, clean people. Funny how the Jews and the Samaritans could kind of be buddy-to-buddy when they have leprosy, right? One of them's a Samaritan. What's the other nine? Jewish? Had no problem hanging around the Samaritans then. They all were lepers. All part of the leper colony, as we use the little phrase. Have mercy on us. And then Jesus tells them to go show themselves to the priest. Why would you go do that? Why would he tell them to do that? Because in Leviticus 14, the very next chapter, the priest acted kind of like a public health inspector. He examined houses for mold. That's called leprosy of the house. Didn't know that, huh? You got mold in your house? Your house has leprosy, according to Leviticus 14. Better get the pine soil out, right? You call the priest over. And he's got to inspect the place. You get the little phrase, cleanliness is next to godliness. Kind of comes from Leviticus 14. So, and our house is next to impossible sometimes, but we understand how that works. So, but this whole idea of leprosy, of showing yourself to the priest, he's saying, go show yourself to the priest, which means go and make yourself certifiably clean. In other words, the priest has to pronounce you clean. And on the way going, they get cleansed. One leper, former leper, comes back to praise Jesus. Now, it's interesting what Jesus doesn't tell this guy. He doesn't say, well, what are you doing here? I told you to go to the priest. He doesn't say that. In fact, he kind of throws sort of suspicion back on the other nine. Why are you here and the other nine are not here? I mean, could the other nine maybe have used the excuse of saying, well, we're not here because you told us to go to the priest. But you know, as soon as we finished with the priest, we were coming back over here, I promise. Because something greater than being certifiably clean by the priest is here. Here's this man gets cleansed, and he goes, and notice the text. He's glorifying God, right? And what does it say in the next verse? Giving thanks. So glorifying God, honoring God, and giving thanks are a set. You can't honor God if you do not glorify Him with thanks and thanksgiving. Because when you receive grace, think about that. When you receive grace, the natural response is to be grateful. Grateful comes from the basic word for grace. I've been graced, so I'm grateful, graceful, and I'm showing that I'm reciprocating back with praise, honoring you, giving thanks. So the first thing you need to understand about this whole idea of giving thanks and trying not to be the other nine. You know, we're commanded to be thankful in the Scriptures. Enter His courts with thanksgiving. That's a command in Psalm 100, verse 4. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. When you give thanks to the Lord, you honor the Lord. When you think of the logo for Thanksgiving Day in our country, it's a turkey. Imagine that. I mean, I get it. Everybody's fixing turkey. It's the food and family kind of thing. You know, this coming Thursday. I'm glad we have the holiday, but it's sort of hollowed out. When you think of Thanksgiving Day, you know, you think of a turkey, you think of the Dallas Cowboys, you think of, you know, going back for thirds on pecan pie, things of that sort. But you never think about what am I being thankful to and for what? Well, we're thankful for each other, and they talk about being thankful for one another, but they never talk about God. And the nation that forgets God will soon be turned away. It's an axiom. It's like law of gravity. And the first place where people forget God is in giving thanks. So we give thanks. Being thankful, we know it honors God. Notice what you have to do when you give thanks to God. First of all, it's fundamental. I got to point these out because many people don't see them. To give thanks to God, you have to acknowledge He's God. When you bow and say, Lord, I just thank you, you acknowledge Him as God. You acknowledge His existence and you acknowledge His authority. And you acknowledge Him as being a benefactor. He gave these things to me. You're actually connecting dots. Yeah, it's easy to thank God when all of a sudden you've almost lost your life. And all of a sudden it's been given back to you in a moment's notice and you almost got in a wreck and go, oh, thank the Lord. That, you know, wasn't worse than what it was. And you should be thankful. But you should be thankful for the everyday things too. Not just where's the nine, because I got my leprosy healed. I'm thankful that I'm here. And that I have soundness of mind. I have health. I have breath. And you come with your hat in your hand in humility. See, when you're a beneficiary, you don't... the pride shrinks. Because you have to receive something from somebody else who's more powerful than you, who's richer than you. And you have to receive from them in order for you to be able to move, live, and have your being. And that's humbling to the pride of man. That's why when we walk by faith, that's why this man here, as he says, rise and go your way, your faith has made you well. Not his gratitude, it was his faith. Believing that Jesus would have mercy on him. And then as he gets healed, he realizes something greater than just simply going to the priest and certifying my cleanliness with a set of human eyes needs to be seen first. I need to go back to King Jesus and acknowledge what he has done and thank him for what he has done, glorifying God. And then Jesus makes a statement about his faith. You always have time to thank the Lord. Those two little words, thank you, it's the smallest form and building block of your relationship with God. Thank you, thank you. There's two prayers I pray most in my entire life. I pray two prayers more than I pray any prayers on the planet. The first one is to thank you. And the second one is I'm sorry. I'm sorry I sinned. I'm sorry I, again. And then I'm thankful. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for this. Thank you. These are basic DNA prayers of every Christian. If you can't repent and ask for forgiveness, on the flip side, you're never going to be thankful. And if you cultivate this whole mentality of being thankful for all things, Paul is thankful when he's in jail with the Philippians and sending a gift to him. He's thankful with the Corinthians in their giving to the church in Jerusalem and learning from the liberality of the Macedonians up in Philippi. He's thankful for all of these things. And we're commanded to be thankful. And everything, give thanks. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things. Not some things, not just the good things. All things. We give thanks. We're a thankful people. Now, when you're a thankful person, think about this, and you're honoring God, there's some benefits from doing that. Philippians 4, if you remember that passage, remember what he says in Philippians 4 about being thankful? When you're thankful in Philippians 4, it also cures anxiety. I don't think it's any coincidence that where he says in Philippians 4, verse 6, so I can find it and read it to you real quick. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm to be anxious for nothing, but I'm to supplicate. I'm to ask God in this whole context of anxiety with thanksgiving. Why the thanksgiving? Because when you're thanking God, what you're acknowledging, once again, his authority, his being a benefactor to me, he's in control. Thank you, Lord, for my situation. Thank you. And when you can say that kind of thankfulness unto him, it's part of your sanity. Lastly, one of the things you need to understand about being thankful, thankfulness overcomes the world. How does it overcome the world? Being thankful overcomes the world? It sure does. If it's the essence of being filled with the Spirit, and we're to offer up with our lips in gratitude, praises, as it says in Hebrews chapter 13, and our basic approach to God in worship in Psalm 107 and Psalm 100, verse 4, and I'm using this as prelude, in Revelation chapter 4, 9 and 10, when they're praising God and he who sits on the throne with thanksgiving forever and ever, they say, with thanksgiving forever and ever. Then you have a power that overcomes the world. You have a power that will fight against every aspect of the spirit of this world. Because in 1 John chapter 2, remember verse 15? He talks about, do not love the world. The world is boils down to two basic desires in the evil hearts of men. There's the desire to boast because I have something that you don't have, which makes me better than you. Or it's the desire to envy, because I don't have something you have, so I envy and I want what you have. So I crave, I covet, or I'm proud and arrogant and boastful and flaunt myself so that you envy me. That's the spirit of the world. Every philosophy, everything in the world boils down to those two grand desires in the world. And guess what? Thankfulness cuts right in the middle of both of them. When you're thankful, you can't boast. When you're thankful and your hat's in your hand, you're not craving. And it kills the spirit of this world. The spirit in our culture is a spirit of social justice today. Critical race theory, intersectionality, identity politics, and every other new phrase that's come out in the last 5 years, from virtue signaling to cancel culture. And new ones that arise every month. And it all comes on the backs of what it means to be ungrateful. They're lost. People who push those agendas do not push gratitude. And they do not push thankfulness. Because when you do, you'll have to use the dreaded P word called privilege. Yeah, you're privileged. Every single one of you in here are privileged. Now, I'm not talking white privilege or black privilege or red privilege or yellow. It's none of that. You're alive and you're topsoil, you're privileged. Or another synonym for that in the Bible is called blessed. You're blessed. You have something others don't have. So what do you do with that? You're to give thanks. You're to spread the wealth and show grace to other people who don't have it. You're propelled by an inner movement of grace in you to say, look what God's given me. I'm the richest man in town. I want to share the wealth. Nobody can obligate you to share the wealth. You want to do it. Why? Because you have a great benefactor who's given you something. Even if it's just sanity. He's given you that. He hadn't given it to somebody else. And so you help those who don't have that. You want to do that. See how that thankfulness is that foundation that moves your Christian life. You think about the whole history of the Thanksgiving Day. I mean, think about where it came from. Remember? 1600s. You had the pilgrims and eating together with the Indians. Here's the indigenous people of the land. And here's the colonialist coming from Europe. And to hear people talk about that today, it's the oppressors and the oppressed. But you go back to the 1600s, they weren't thinking that. They came together and they were going to honor God. And they were going to give thanks. Can't do that if you're thinking oppressor and oppressed. You don't know how to give thanks. All you know how to do is to be employed in the grievance industry. And always constantly work on you being self-offended on every little thing that happens. I'm totally offended. I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm offended. You're a bully. I don't have a safe space. And no wonder people are called snowflakes like this. We're Christians, like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16. Act like men with a backbone. And what that means is I have gratefulness in my heart. And to be able to show thanks to the Lord. And if God uses this person or that person as an instrument in my life, then we thank them. We show manners. Love does not act unbecomingly. Now think about that. I got somebody out there who doesn't think like me, doesn't think like you, might not be a Christian. It's not grateful. I'm still aware of my manners. Why? Because I have been so blessed that I can't help but be mannerfied toward them. I have manners toward them. If they don't have manners toward me, you know what the Bible says. You don't return evil for evil. We turn what? We don't return insult for insult. Christ didn't do that. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Why do you do that? Because you are a different breed totally. You mean you have been blessed upon blessings. And so we think of a day coming up on Thanksgiving. It kind of reminds us of this whole idea of what took place, 400 years ago, 300 years ago, with the pilgrims and the Indians. Even they knew to give thanks. Of course, you think about it, this is how you overcome the world. See, the world wants you to interpret those big bad people over from Europe coming over there and destroying indigenous people. They came over here and blessed those indigenous people. They blessed them with what? The true God. Amen. And those Indians now are worshiping God, a God they never knew, that now they're being evangelized. They're blessed people. Those Indians were blessed. Not that's what you would hear from today in the culture. You can't talk like that. If you talk like that, you would make us all thankful. Hello? Who wants to be thankful? Christians. Those who want to honor God. And you think about it, all the liberties that you have as a Christian. I mean, look at this. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. He who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks. That's how you know you have a liberty. You can give thanks to God for your liberty. Some people have liberty to watch TV. Some people don't have the liberty to watch TV. If you do not have that liberty to watch TV, then guess what? If you don't eat, you give thanks. And partner, I've seen people who don't have a liberty and they can't give thanks. But they can complain about everybody else's liberties. You can't do that. If you have something from God, thank you, Lord. If I don't have it, thank you, Lord, I don't have it. Because this is where you want me. It gives me more time to do this or to do that with my money or my energies or whatever. Great. We're not your master. We're just your servants as brothers and sisters. Don't follow us in our convictions and in liberties. You got to follow the Lord. We're here to serve you, though, in that. And we're here waiting to hear what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've given me this. Thank you that I don't have this, but I have this. Thank you. See, thank you, thank you, thank you. When you can give thanks, that's the litmus test that is from the Lord. This is how you honor God in Romans 1:21. This shows how we have the right liberties. See, when he says in 1 Corinthians 10:30, if I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? If I give thanks, why am I being slandered for something else? Thankfulness is the good housekeeping seal of approval that what I'm doing from God. A man can give thanks. And there's many other passages here. I mean, I just can't get them all in. The silly talk and coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather what? Giving of thanks. Devote yourselves to prayers. Keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. I guess my main point in preaching, you know, this message here, it's not just because it's close to Thanksgiving, you know, which it is. But, you know, if you're going to set a table for Thanksgiving, the first thing you do is you put down a tablecloth, right? And you put everything on top of it. That tablecloth should be thankfulness, a gratefulness, a grateful heart. Lord, look what you have done for me. So the real question is, are you one of the nine or are you the one? What has God done for you? If you can't, as we say, count your blessings, name them one by one. You know why you want to count them and name them one by one? Because it does something to your heart to be thankful. Let me show you how easy it is in counseling. You're having problems with your mate, having problems with your children, having problems with your parents. Do this. I tell this many times. And I don't even follow my own advice sometimes. Sit down and write at least one thought a day of, this is why I'm thankful for my wife, husband, child, parent, job. What am I thankful for today? Write down one thing you're thankful for, especially with people you have problems with, especially people closest to you. Write down one thing that you're thankful to the Lord about with them. And let me tell you something. It might not be something good. It might be, well, they have sure been used by God to make me an holier person. But Lord, I thank you for them because you use them more as a tool on me as a pot on the wheel than anything else to scrape off all the clay. But I thank you for them. Thank you. They're in my life to do that. You're thanking the Lord. And when you thank the Lord like that, you're seeing those people with those eyes of gratefulness. You're acting like the beneficiary you really are. God gave me this person, as hard as they might be in my life, but he gave me this person to make me to be more like Jesus Christ. And I want to acknowledge your sovereignty. I want to acknowledge your goodness and kindness in giving me this person. And I want to thank you for them. You actually thank the Lord for them. You give thanks in all things. And no wonder you find yourself being filled with the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, it starts changing you. doesn't maybe change them, but it changes you. And you have more of a song in your heart, like it says in Ephesians 5, of being filled with the Spirit. And you start singing and making melody in your heart in the Lord, you know, toward one another, toward the Lord. And you're thankful. But let me tell you something. If all you do is grumble and gripe and complain, and all you do is see the glass half empty, you're not honoring God. And let me tell you, nobody wants to be around somebody who's constantly spewing out vinegar. You know, kind of like, you know, the old phrase, just shut up already. I'm around that all enough already in the world. I don't need it anymore. But somebody who does what? Speaks with honey and says, you know, we have it rough, but you know, just I'm just real thankful that the Lord has given us this. You know, we could be dead. See, always looking at the, we could be this, it could be that, it could be worse, it could be that. But we're not. We have this, we have that. Look at what we have. And you're when you start seeing what you have, count your blessings, name them one by one, and you're starting to be thankful, then people around you will be encouraged. And you will help the saints from being discouraged. You will help your spouse, you'll help your children, you'll help your parents. Especially when you want to talk to them about something that might need correction, you talk to them about first how thankful you are for them. Because whether weal or woe, they're in your life for some reason by God. And we know He causes all things to work together for good. So that basic Romans 8:28 for good should be thanked. Shouldn't it? And of course it should. That's why James could see, even say, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. It's going to make me a stronger, more vibrant Christian in the future. I have to look at it that way. Now, that's just Bible, guys. I mean, I'm not trying to put some sort of spin to this. Not some optimistic pie in the sky. This is Bible. I mean, look at that. We didn't go through all the verses. I still got verses up here. On being thankful. Enter His courts with thanksgiving. No matter where you're at and what has happened. All the injustices. This is what you're called to do and you're called to be. I'm done. Anybody want to share how thankful they are about anything along these lines before I close?
Thank you for truth.
Thank you for truth. It's what saves you, truth. And you got it. And the guys down the street didn't get it. How come? You're better than them? Nope. Probably worse. I don't know. God sometimes does that. Takes the worse. But He gave it to you. So you thank the Lord for the truth. You know the gospel. You have a relationship with God. A relationship, partaker of divine nature. That in and of itself ought to just say, I'm blown away. I'm just so thankful. So to not be thankful is a huge sin. And it's the start of many sins. See, in Romans 1, not being thankful, all of a sudden God gives them up, then God gives them up, then God gives them over. It starts with unthankfulness. You can trace it all the way back. Everything from transgender to LGBTQ plus, everything down starts with unthankfulness, ingratitude. When he talks about there will be in the last days men who were this, this, and this in 2 Timothy 3, they're ungrateful. One of the first things on the list, ungrateful. They can't be grateful. They can't be thankful unto the Lord. They can't be thankful to one another. It's like, you know, you owe them. You're here for me. That's how it is, right? Survival of the fittest. You're here to serve me. Get over it. And when people think like that, they constitute the smallest island. And they're the only people that live on the island is themselves. And they're narcissistic. All they think about is themselves. I got to tell you, that's probably one of my personal dislikes on Facebook. Facebook is all about me, me, me. Come take a look at me. I got my picture here. I got my selfie here. And I'm constantly taking selfies, 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 selfies. Because it's all about me, right? The world spins around me, right? You see, it doesn't breed grounds for being thankful and grateful. It breeds grounds for being narcissistic. Constantly thinking about what, you know, it's my rights and how I'm supposed to have a better life. And, of course, everybody else in the world is not giving it to me. It's all their fault. Where's the thankfulness there? Your soul's going to shrivel to the size of a walnut when that happens. And you have absolutely no affections for anybody else. You can't be affectionate toward anybody else unless they're serving you. What's in it for me? And I'm not saying get off Facebook for those reasons, but when I see people's profiles on Facebook, it's like they don't have a trial in the world. They've got trials, but you never see it. They window dress themselves. They're wearing the nice tuxedo with the top hat and everything, and in reality, it's like, these people, they're a basket case. But you never can tell it from Facebook. Got to put forth that good, you know, foot forward and everything. Because who in the world is going to, you know, follow the old clickbait and click on my Facebook if I got nothing but problems I'm talking about every day? Who wants to go look at that? I got enough of that on my own. I don't need somebody else piling on in my mind. And that's how we think. And I understand, you want to put your best foot forward. You want to look nice and everything. You want to sound nice and stuff. But it also can be a breeding ground for being fake and being plastic. And so, you know, just in honesty, okay? If you want to be honest with people and transparent, but you want to be thankful from the heart. I'm not thanking people, kind of like that Pharisee in Luke 18. I thank you, Lord. I'm not like that guy. If I'm comparing myself to people and thanking God based off of that, what's that? But to be really thankful inside for what he has really done. He has saved me. You realize how huge that is? I mean, there's nothing else that compares. There's no greater day for your existence than when you got saved. Tell me what better day is than being saved from the wrath of God. Birthday? Oh, I had a new kid. A kid? Really? A creature is coming to your life, and that's greater than what the Creator has done to make you right with the Creator. No, it ain't. It's that relationship with God. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened. Not your creature kids. Not your creature spouse. Not your creature preacher. That makes for a nice little rhyme. Doesn't work. Creature preachers up here, right. And some of them are, I gotta say. But no, it's not. It's not the created order, and you know that. And that's why we give thanks and we honor him. Anybody else thankful for anything before we close in prayer? Parents? Amen. Right? Taught you manners? Yep. Right? Amen. Your parents. You what? Yeah, creature preacher. Yeah. Zombie apocalypse of preachers up here. Amen. Good. Anybody else?